John chapter number 10, verses 4 and
5.
I'll just read them both, and then you can do them in Spanish. When he puts forth his own sheep, talking about Jesus, when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him. They know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Praise God. Anybody thank God for the good shepherd? Jesus, your good shepherd. Hallelujah. This verse talks about something, a particular characteristic of the good shepherd. That I particularly, and I know as many believers they do, they value, and that is that the shepherd has a voice. Yes. Amen. And one of the great benefits of having a shepherd, Jesus, is that he wants to talk to you. He wants to guide you. He wants to teach you. And his voice is how you get that guidance. Praise God. And so hearing, one of the benefits of the fact that he speaks is that we can hear him. Hallelujah. This is one of the areas that many Christians, I've been in the ministry for, oh my goodness, I don't have to go count, but 35 or 37 years. And I've learned something, that Christians sometimes are frustrated in areas of their faith. And one area that sometimes Christians are frustrated in is their ability to hear from him, hear from the Lord. Amen. But it's not actually difficult. The Lord's made it very easy for us to hear his voice. And there are many benefits of being able to hear from God or hear the voice of your good shepherd. When we say hearing from God, we're not necessarily talking about hearing a voice, like an audible voice. Because he can speak audibly, but that's not the main way he's going to speak to you. We're using the term his voice sort of as a general term for just being led by your good shepherd. A lot of times it's just the inner witness or the peace of God on the inside or just an inner knowing or having an inner clarity. When I say inner, I'm talking about the inner man. I'm talking about the real you. I'm talking about your spirit, man.
Yes,
amen.
Amen.
The real you is not your body. Your body is your house. Your house that you live in wherever, you know, down the street here, wherever you live, that's not you. That's just the place you live in. And the same way with this body. This isn't you. Did you know that? This is just your house. The real you lives on the inside. I tell Christians sometimes, I say that you're looking, the real you is looking at me through those windows you call eyes. The real you is not the body, it's the one on the inside. Amen. Whenever you finish your race down here and you go to be with Jesus, this body's going to fall over, but the real you is going to depart. That's what the Bible said. You're going to depart. If you're born again, he'll depart and be with Christ, which is far better. So that's the real you. Amen. And we need to be more conscious of the real man on the inside. And the reason that's so important is because the real you is your spirit man. And he has a soul. You have a soul also. But the spirit of man is the part that God talks to, or that he bears witness with you to guide you. And you have the right to be guided, not just kind of guess and go. You know, you have the right, because Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. They know my voice. Hallelujah. And the voice of a stranger, they'll not what? They'll not follow. So there's someone who wants to guide you so that you know what to follow. And guess what? If you'll learn to follow the Holy Ghost, because Jesus isn't here talking in the flesh today with an audible voice. But he does guide through his Spirit, who has taken up residency on the inside of you. And if you'll learn to follow the Holy Spirit, he'll guide you in all the affairs of life. But your job is to learn to recognize his voice. And you can do that. Every believer can do that. Hallelujah. And you can get good at it. You can develop skill at it. But you have to learn some things from the Bible.
Yes, sir.
In order to do that.
Yes, sir.
You don't know it because you got born again. You don't know how to follow the Spirit of God on the inside just because you got born again. He's in there, but you might not recognize his voice because you're not trained to look to his voice. You're maybe trying to understand everything mentally. But he doesn't bear witness with your mind. Romans 8, 14 and 16 says, he'll bear witness with your spirit. Amen. And that's deeper than your mind. Say it out loud. That's deeper than my mind. Praise God. But you still have the capacity to learn to recognize his voice. Jesus isn't here in the flesh, but he sent the Holy Ghost to be his megaphone. Amen. Whatever he says in heaven, the Holy Ghost picks it up and speaks it into your spirit. Amen. Praise God. And so there's a Holy Ghost speaker on the inside of you. Hallelujah. Amen. And that speaker is Wi-Fi'd to Jesus in heaven. Anybody know what Wi-Fi is? That's what Jesus is. Jesus is up in heaven, and the Holy Ghost Wi-Fi is on the inside of you. It's a wireless communication system. Praise God. So we want to talk about that tonight and learn to hear from God. Now, some Christians hear that. They hear about hearing from God. And they get the idea that we're talking about an audible voice. Jesus can talk in an audible voice, but that's the rarity. That's not the common way he guides, or that you'll hear his voice. People that are seeking a voice open themselves up to the devil. Because the devil can speak audibly also. You understand that? And he'll try to confuse people or mislead people who are seeking a voice. You understand what I'm talking about? But one thing the devil can't duplicate is the inner voice of the Spirit of God on the inside. Because Satan doesn't live on the inside of the believer. He's the prince of the power of the air out here. Isn't that right? But he can't duplicate the inner knowing or the inner witness because he's not in there. Amen. He's out here. But the inner knowing in the spirit of a man is the Holy Ghost. Amen. Can you say amen? And why do I keep saying here and not here? Because out of a man's belly will flow rivers of living water. This he spoke of the Spirit, right? Praise God. Amen. So, rivers of living water. See, I'm in the right church tonight, right? So, out of your spirit, out of your belly, that's where your spirit man is. He's not talking about your physical stomach. He's saying that your spirit is in the core of your being. And that's where he bears witness with you. Praise the Lord. And you can get real good at recognizing the guidance of the Holy Ghost on the inside. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So the great value of being his sheep is that you can hear his voice. Praise God. You need to value being directed by his voice. Amen. And that just means be interested in it. Because how do you show interest? You show interest by tuning out the noise of the world and tuning into his voice alone. Amen. His voice contains his thoughts. Amen. And really, to miss hearing his voice is to go forward in your own mind. Amen. But when you hear his voice, or you know on the inside what he's saying, then you're being directed by what he has to, what he knows. And he knows much more than you know. Amen. Can you say amen?
Amen.
His thoughts, by hearing from God, you'll enter into his thoughts. You'll enter into his wisdom. And what he knows, which is better than what you know. And he'll always guide you into success. And he'll always cause you to prosper. Praise the Lord. Jesus said to Brother Hagin in a vision, if you learn to follow my spirit, I'll make you rich. Amen. Praise the Lord. I've been doing that for over 30 some years. And I'm rich.
Amen.
Amen. Absolutely rich. Praise the Lord. I have a full supply. It's a big supply. Amen. And so his voice contains his wisdom, his direction, his comfort, his answers. Glory to God. And so hearing is to direct your faith. You and I aren't supposed to learn the message of faith and then just direct it towards things without his voice. You understand what I'm talking about? Because sometimes people, they say, well, I'm just going to believe God for this, I'm going to believe God for that. Well, what is he directing you to believe God for?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, we're going to talk some more about this tonight, if you can handle it. Praise God. When you know what God has said to you, you have an answer for opposition whenever the enemy starts telling you, you can't do that. And you need to have the right thing in your mouth whenever Satan comes. And the only way you're going to have the right thing in your mouth is if you hear from God. Amen. Now, the Lord said this to me a while back from 2 Chronicles chapter number 20. I'm going to just refer to this. It talks about the Israelites. Three enemy armies came against Israel in 2 Chronicles 20. And it talks about it from verses 1 down through whatever, verse 20 or something like that. And it talks about how the enemy army was much larger than Israel's army. And they didn't know what to do. So they went to God. All of Israel gathered together. And they went to God. And whenever they went to God, They said, Lord, this army's come against us. And you told us this is your land. And that you were giving it to us. They're trying to drive us out of it. And we have no natural ability. Our army is smaller than theirs. And we don't know what to do. But they said, our eyes are on you. And then all Israel just waited in the presence of God to see what he was going to say to them. And the Holy Ghost came on a man. And he began to speak out by the Spirit and told him what to do. He said, the battle's not yours. The battle's God's. Set yourself. Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord with you. Tomorrow go out against them and the Lord will be with you. And they all bowed their head and worshiped God because they had heard from God. And that hearing directed their steps. Did you get that?
Amen.
So the next morning, they got up and they got together and they said, we're going to do exactly what God said.
Yes,
we're going to go out there against them. Their army is bigger than us. 3 or 4 times bigger than them. And they went out there and they said, this is what we're going to do. We're going to go out there praising God. They put the singers out front. Amen. Not the people with swords and spears, but people that were leading the singing. Hallelujah. So they went out singing and saying, the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. And it happened that whenever they began to sing and to praise, the Bible said the Lord set ambushments against their enemies. And if you know what that is, that's the angel army. Angels from heaven came and joined Israel and went into the enemy's camp, confused the enemy's camp, and began to make people afraid of one another. And they began to kill one another. Because the angels were in their midst, and the presence of the angels caused them to not know for sure what was going on. And they began to kill off one another. And the Lord won a great victory that day. Hallelujah. And they didn't even need to fight. Glory to God. I like that. Don't you like that? That's a great victory. Supernatural power was manifest. And they won the battle without even having to fight. Praise God. Well, we like all that, don't we? But how many of you know the way they got into all of that? You want to know how they got into all that? They got into it by hearing. Did you hear that? I said they got into it by hearing. The hearing directed them and told them what to do. Praise God. How many of you know faith comes by hearing? And by hearing, they could do what they did in faith. Amen. Without hearing, you're all alone. But if you hear and take the steps by faith, you're going to tap into the power of God. For supernatural victory.
Yes.
Amen. Not just natural victory, but supernatural power will be manifest.
Amen.
But here's how you get into it. You get into it by hearing. Amen. The Spirit of God said to me one day, he said, your help is in the hearing. Your help is in the hearing. You know why your help is in the hearing? Because in hearing, it directs you. And you know what to do about the situation. And whenever you hear, you get faith. And whenever you do something in faith, the Bible said faith is the victory. Glory be to God. Say it out loud. My help is in my hearing. That's why you need to value hearing from God. Now, hearing from God doesn't equal just the noise of the voice of the Spirit or somebody speaking the word to you, bouncing off of your ears. Jesus said at one time, they hear, but they don't hear. In Matthew 13. You remember that? Talking about Israel in that day. They heard, but they didn't hear. In other words, it bounced off their eardrums, but the inward man didn't really hear. In other words, it's a hearing is a skill you have to learn. And it goes beyond just the sound of the preacher's voice bouncing off of your ears. Amen. You have ears. The inward man has ears. And it's not, you don't hear just because you heard with your ears on the side of your head. Isn't that right? So we've got to become skilled at hearing. We're not good at it just because we got saved. So say it out loud. I'm going to become skilled in hearing. Praise God. The better you are at hearing and then walking by what you hear, the better you're going to be at faith. I said the better you're going to be at faith. Hallelujah. So don't set aside hearing in your reach for help from God. Some people just want relief from whatever they're going through. And they think, if God just does something and I get relief, then that's what I need. But you and I need to learn that a lot of times His help comes through our hearing. Yeah, do you hear me? Help comes through hearing. Don't seek relief. Seek to hear. The help is in the hearing. Just like Israel back there in 2 Chronicles 20. Their help was in their hearing. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me tonight? Yes. Praise God. Now, so a lot of times people want help, but they don't want instructions. But a lot of times our help comes through heavenly instructions. Amen. Have you ever, how many of you know what a weed whacker is? The rest of you don't know what a weed whacker is. Can you interpret that? Does that interpret very easily? Do you know? So how many of you know what a cortadora, what was that? You know what that is? Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. Good. So have you ever used one of those on your on a weed that comes up between? Maybe in a crack in the concrete in your driveway or something. Yeah. Right? And you mow your grass and there's a weed and you just take the weed whacker. Bzz. Yeah. All right. Anybody ever done something like that? Yeah. But how many of you know next week when you go out to mow your grass, there it is again, that tall. Isn't that right? Why did it come back up? Because you just weed whacked it. You didn't get to the root. You see, a lot of Christians, they want to weed whack their problem. But because they're not really hearing from God, they're not getting to the root. They're not really getting down to where they're really not getting down to the cause of why that keeps happening. God doesn't want to weed whack your problems. He wants to get to the root and kill the root and kill why it keeps on coming back. I found in my life a lot of times to keep a problem from coming back over and over again, he wants to kill the thinking that I have. The wrong thinking that I have. You understand what I'm talking about? And a lot of times to kill that, it takes hearing something that he has to say to me to correct my thinking. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And so we need to value hearing from God. Hallelujah. Now, really, I found this. Being able to hear what God's endeavoring to say to me, will fix things in my life that just haven't been working according to the way the Word of God says they should be working. Amen. Some people have heard enough of the message of faith just to make them dangerous. What do I mean by that? They sometimes think all they hear about the message of faith is just believe and confess. And that's certainly scriptural, isn't it? That's important, to believe the word and confess it. But I have worked with, I've been in the ministry for, I think, over 37 years. I know a lot of Christians who've been believing and confessing for decades. And they're at the same place in many areas of their life that they were when they first started out. There must be something else they need to hear. Are you hearing me? Hearing. Remember Jesus said, the Spirit of God, when He has come, He'll guide you into all truth. Amen. Notice that's a process. That's not a one-time thing that happens the day after you get saved. It'll continue to happen throughout your life. And he said, the Holy Ghost, actually Jesus said, I have many things to say to His disciples. He's talking to His disciples. I have many things to say to you, but you can't hear them now. Remember that? Is there any possibility that in you and mine's life, there's things that the Lord would like to say to us, but we're not ready to hear it? Any slight little chance of possibility? Absolutely. Absolutely. Say it out loud. Absolutely. Well, why didn't the Lord just say it? Well, Jesus said in Mark 6, I don't remember the verse. He spoke many things unto them in parables as they were able to hear it. He doesn't say things if we're not able to hear it. Amen. You know, let's take an Old Testament example. You ever heard the story of, it's in Isaiah 38. You ever heard the story of Hezekiah? How God sent a prophet into him, said, set your house in order, you're going to die. Remember that? God didn't send the prophet to say that because that was God's will. We know that from the rest of the story. When the prophet left, the Bible says that Hezekiah turned his face to the wall. Remember that? And if you read the whole story, God said some things to him. He made some adjustments. And God spoke to the prophet before he even got out of the courtyard. And he said, go back and tell King Hezekiah, I've heard his prayer. I've seen his tears. If you read the whole count, those were tears of repentance. because of what God had said to him. And tell him, I've heard his cry, seen his tears, and tell him I'm going to add to him 15 more years. Well, you see that and you almost get the idea that God changed his mind. Because at one time he said, set your house in order, you're going to die. And yet within probably minutes, he came and said, no, he said, you're going to live 15 more years. Seemed like God changed his mind. Did God change his mind? No, Hezekiah made some changes. Amen. If you read the whole story there in Isaiah 38, you'll find that Hezekiah heard from God, made some adjustments, repented, and God said, ah, because he could hear, he could live longer. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, your help is in the hearing. If you can hear, you can move from getting just the acceptable will of God to getting the perfect will of God. Hezekiah had a healing covenant in the Old Testament. Hezekiah had a healing covenant. He knew that. And he knew he didn't have to die young. But he had to make some adjustments. Amen. And the New Testament talks about it. It says sometimes for this cause, people don't live out their whole life. You ever read that? That's not God's will. But see, here's what happened in Hezekiah's case. And this happens in people's lives today. In Hezekiah's case, it wasn't God's will for him to die then. But God just sent message to him that under the present circumstances, this is what's going to happen. But that didn't mean it was God's will. Amen. Sometimes people don't get God's best. But that's not on God's side. It's on our side. Whether it's me or you. Isn't that right? But I'm out to get God's best, aren't you? So what do I need to do? I've got to be able to hear some things. And some things aren't necessarily easy to hear. Amen. I found that not everything the Lord says to me, not everything that the Lord says to me is complimentary. You know what I mean by complimentary? I mean, good job, good job. Sometimes it's corrective. Amen. Because whom the Lord loves, he corrects, right? And that correction is not to beat us down. It's to save us and save our life. Hallelujah. But sometimes things aren't easy to hear. It takes humility to hear some things. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And so there's different reasons, and we don't have time tonight, but there's different reasons why people don't hear. Some people just don't know how God speaks. And so maybe they're looking for something out here, you know, or something in their mind. And sometimes that's why people don't hear, because they're not looking in the right place. It's a little bit like driving down the road in your car, trying to tune in the radio to the television station. The television station isn't broadcasting through the airwaves like they used to. Amen. But you can pick up the radio station in the car, right? So that's the reason sometimes people don't hear very well. But another reason people don't hear is because they're too busy mentally. They're not getting quiet. Because a lot of times when he speaks, it's a still small voice. You know, a gentle nudge. But our minds are too busy, you know. You ever read that verse? Be still and know that I am God. The knowing is in the stillness, not in the clatter of our minds. Our minds sometimes are busy and noisy, like banging of pots and pans, you know. But we need to get quiet and recognize what He's prompting us to do down on the inside. And that's another whole subject. But then on this other side, there's sometimes people don't hear because they don't want to hear. Because they're not sure that they're whatever God says, they're not sure they want to hear that. They say they want to hear. But the answer that God gives them, that's not what they wanted to hear. Come on, somebody. Tell your neighbor, he's preaching better than your amen, and that's for sure. Amen. I've been there before. God started dealing with me to pastor back there over 25 years ago. And I didn't want to hear it. Blah, 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 blah. Amen. But as I was resisting what He was saying to my heart, everything in my life started going wrong direction. The money wasn't there anymore. I was having problems in all sorts of areas of my life. You know, you want to ask, it's almost like the Lord sometimes probably wants to ask us, how's that working out for you? You know, you don't want to listen to what I'm saying for you to do. How's that working out for you? And sometimes we learn the hard way. Not because God's making it hard. It's just that whenever we're not listening, He can't do what He really wants to do. Amen. Say amen. That's good preaching, Pastor Jay. Okay, all right. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Boy, but whenever you finally start listening, things start working that weren't working before. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Hallelujah. Soon as I said yes to pastoring, everything started working again. Hallelujah. So I encourage you to take time to hear. Say it out loud. That'll make things work for you again. It's worth whatever the price is to hear from God. Whatever it is that's keeping you from hearing from God, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. Tell your neighbor, it's not worth it. You have a royal invitation from God. A royal invitation from God. To come boldly to the throne of grace. And receive whatever you need. And a lot of times it's just simply you just need to hear from Him. Amen? Am I in the right room tonight? So that invitation is there. It's almost like the door to the throne of grace is open all the time. And you have an invitation to come. Praise God. The invitation's there all the time. Come. Get your help. Get your help. Get your help. And help a lot of times comes through hearing. Years ago, I don't know if it's still this way, but you ever heard of Motel 6? They used to always say, we'll keep the light on for you. Isn't that right? You ever heard that commercial? We'll keep the light on. In other words, you're welcome at any time. You're just coming anytime. Well, God's saying to you concerning the throne of grace, I'll keep the light on for you. Hallelujah. In other words, you can just come at any time. Praise God. But what does that mean, come boldly to the throne of grace? It must have some, it must, because notice that term, come. It will come from where? He's talking about come from a different place and come to the throne of grace. And one of the big things about coming to the throne of grace is to exit the busyness of the mind and the noisiness of your mind. That's a big part of coming to the throne of grace.
Yes, sir.
One of the failures of the culture we live in is that it has not trained people to develop their spirits. They develop their minds, they develop their intellects, and they develop their bodies. And our culture spends trillions of dollars, honestly, on taking care of the body and developing the mind. When I say taking care of the body, I'm talking about whether it's the healthcare system or, you know, just physical exercise or something. When I say developing the mind, I'm talking about the education system and all the knowledge that we have. And, you know, God's not against any of that unless it's unscriptural. But people develop, they'll spend a lot of money on develop their minds or they're developing their bodies. But God wants you to develop your spirit.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Your spirit man can grow and develop to where you can recognize God. Amen. So you won't have to be like some Christians where God's endeavoring to move in their life and they don't recognize Him. So they keep missing Him. He's zigging and they're zagging. That's a good job. You did a good job interpreting that one. I didn't know if you could get that one. But you know what I'm talking about. They're just not. You know, remember Bible said, how can two walk together except they be agreed? Remember that verse? Well, God wants you to walk with Him and hear from Him so that you can agree with Him. But you have to be able to hear from Him. Amen? So, in thinking about some of these things, and we won't go too much longer here, it's worth the price, whatever you got to pay, to develop your spirit. Develop your ability to recognize God. How many of you know He's really speaking all the time in one sense? But our job is to tune in. Isn't that right? If you're driving down the road and you're trying to get a radio station in your car, and it's just you making that noise, you never call the radio station and say, your signal's not being broadcast. You need to broadcast your signal. No, it's not on the sending end. It's not on the sending end. They're sending the signal, but it's on your receiver end. Maybe you're too far away from the signal. You understand what I'm talking about? And so it's always on the receiving end. Isn't that right? And that's the way it is between us and God. He's always broadcasting His signal. It's just that sometimes people's receivers aren't tuned in right. Amen. And so whatever the price that a man has to pay in order to hear from God, That could be just getting quiet mentally. It could be spending some time praying in the Holy Ghost. It's worth it. Hallelujah. Say it out loud, it's worth it. Hallelujah. So there's a place of hearing. Acts chapter 13, verse number 2 said they ministered to the Lord and fasted, and the Holy Ghost said something to them. Amen. That place of hearing was in setting themselves, setting some time aside to do what he called here ministering to the Lord. Now that's just another word for minister. It's another word for praising him and worshiping him. And what you do when you praise and worship God is that you, the Bible said, you enter into his presence, don't you? Enter his presence with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Remember that? Enter. Come, in other words. There's another word for come. And so through praising and worshiping God, you're talking out of your spirit to God, and you're not necessarily being busy with your mind. You're quieting your mind and waiting on the Lord, ministering to him, and by doing that, you're entering into his presence. And you're exiting the mental busyness and the noise, you know, with your mind on all these different things. And you turn your attention towards him. And in that atmosphere, you can hear from him. And that's what happened in Acts 13, too. Hallelujah. You can do that in the privacy of your own bedroom. Thank God for church, right? But you can do it in the privacy of your own fellowship with God. Hallelujah. But that's the place where you'll get answers. That's the place where you'll hear from God. Glory to God. This is a lost art in our culture. People, they just want to make a good confession. Say amen. And say, I'm believing God for what he wants to say to me. Well, that's scriptural, all right. That's fine. But learn to quiet your mind. Learn to draw up out of your spirit by speaking in other tongues. Hallelujah. Because when you're speaking in other tongues, that's not coming out of your mind. It's coming out of your spirit. And that's where the Holy Ghost is. And that's where he speaks. And that'll tune you in, so to speak. It's like on the radio dial in your car. You might have to push a button and go one left or one right. Amen? And what was sounding like, all of a sudden it'll say, welcome to KWIC or whatever it is, you know. Hallelujah. Woo, now you're hearing. Hallelujah. So whatever it's worth. I mean, we need to value this very, very highly. You can look at my wife, Pastor Debbie, and I's life. And see just a lot of success everywhere you look. Amen. But I'll tell you, one of the greatest keys to our success is not doing anything. In life, ministry, or anything, any area, until we take time to hear.
Yes, sir.
Take time to hear. Any area, you see any area of our life and ask, how did that get started? How did you get into that? I'll be able to trace you back to a time of waiting on God. And where we heard from God. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's one of the keys to success. Remember the Bible said, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain to build it. I meet Christians sometimes. Who it just seems like their life is just consists of being kicked around from pillar to post, so to speak. And they're not gathering up the blessings of God. Maybe they started to and then they lost them all. But it's because they made a wrong decision or something. They didn't take the time to hear something. And that's their whole life, so to speak. Your life needs to be gathering up the blessings of God. More and more and more. I said more and more and more. This year ought to be better than last year. Next year ought to be better than this year. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hearing keeps the door closed to the devil. Because you're staying with God and not opening the door by making mistakes. Thank God for His mercy. Amen. But I don't want to keep living on mercy. I want to develop skill of hearing from God. Praise the Lord. God has provided a meeting place for you. The Bible says, come boldly to the throne of grace. Right? And then it talks about it in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Christ. You have a bold access to God because of the blood. The blood has provided you a meeting place with God. You can come and talk things over with God. And talking things over with God is not a one-way street. It's a two-way street. Not just you talking to God, but you hearing from God. Amen. In other words, it's not a monologue. It's a dialogue. Hallelujah. You're not supposed to go and just talk to God. You're to learn to talk with God. He'll talk back. Amen. People sometimes, when we started praying at our church, I just would pray with them like I pray in my own prayer closet with no one else around. And I'd start praying, I'd start talking to God. And then I would get over enough to hear, recognize in enough in His presence to recognize what He's saying to me. I don't mean with an audible voice, but just that inner communication, that inner knowing, that inner peace. And I would say, oh yeah, thank you, Lord. I recognize that. And they thought that was funny when they first started hearing that. Because I was hearing from God. Somebody said, that scares me. People hear from God. That scares me. It doesn't scare me that somebody's hearing from God. It scares me that they don't. That's scary. That's dangerous. Amen. Hallelujah. You glad you came to church tonight? But let's wrap this up here, just for a few minutes here. Say this out loud. Say this, developing my ear to hear is very, very important. Amen. You remember it says in Proverbs 4, my son, attend to my words. And then it said, incline thine ear. Amen. Unto my sayings. Incline thine ear. What does that mean? Incline thine ear. Well, let me say it this way. It means tune your ear into me. You can have your ear tuned into a lot of different voices. Amen. Think of it this way. You ever been in a busy or a noisy restaurant? And there's a lot of people in there, and they're all, you know, at their own tables, and they're all talking. And you ever been in that kind of setting to where the person you came to the restaurant with is sitting across the table, and you're not necessarily always hearing what they're saying? Raise your hand if you understand what I'm talking about. And so how many of you sitting there, you thought, well, I'm going to have to tune everybody else out and just tune in to what Pastor Jose is saying. And you can do that, can't you? You kind of tune them out. That's what he means when he said, incline thine ear. Notice in John 10, the verse we started out with, Jesus didn't say, notice what he said. He said, my sheep know my voice, and the voice of a stranger they'll not follow. Notice he didn't say, you won't hear other voices. He just said, you won't follow those other voices. That's what we need to do, although we hear the voice of the enemy. We hear the voice of fear. We hear the voice of worry or condemnation or many other things. But we're learning to tune that out and only hear what Jesus is saying. Hallelujah. And the better you get at doing that, the better you'll be. And the better your faith will work. Hallelujah. I'm interested in my faith working, aren't you? Praise the Lord. Now, just to wrap this up, I keep wanting to say a couple things here just to wrap this up. Before we go, are you ready? You got a few more minutes? Matthew 13 talks about here. It talks about being people being some of God's people hearing but not hearing. Amen. Now we are all sometimes more ready to hear some things than other things. We selectively hear what we want to hear. Like when it comes to prosperity, for example. There are certain things along that line that we really like to hear. Amen. Woo, we run around the church and woo, woo, just dance. We love to hear it. But there are other things we don't like hearing so much.
Come on.
How many of you know we got to be able to hear the whole counsel of God's word? Hallelujah. Praise God. And the better you can hear the whole counsel of God's word, the better you'll prosper. Amen. Amen. You ever notice your children sometimes they don't want to hear certain things? They tune you out, you know? But it's like Jesus said. He said, the Holy Ghost, when he comes, he'll guide you into all truth. But before that, he said, I have some things to say, but you're not able to hear them now. What does that mean, you're not able to hear them? You're not ready. I could say it, but you're not ready to understand what I'm saying. It's like teaching a two-year-old algebra. There's no use even saying it.
Right?
They're not going to get it. And that's the way spiritual growth is. Spiritual growth is like the more we grow, the more we can hear certain things. That before that, we didn't want to hear that. But it was only hurting us. Right? But we still didn't want to hear it. That doesn't sound like wisdom. Does that sound like wisdom? Sometimes we're willingly ignorant of certain things. Woo! You know, that's a Bible term. The Bible talks about some that are willingly ignorant. 2 Peter 3:5 talks about that. That means God is endeavoring to say something, but they don't want to hear it. They deliberately turn away from what God's saying. Well, praise the Lord. Say hallelujah anyhow. We need to get to the place where we're able to hear what we need to hear. I think about the woman, the Syrophoenician woman, and I'm about done here tonight. You remember the story of the Syrophoenician woman in the Bible? Syrophoenician, is that how do you say it? Yeah, she was the lady in the Bible that said, came to Jesus and said, come, my daughter's grievously vexed of a devil. You remember? And you remember the disciples said, you know, send her away. You know, she's troubling us. You remember that lady? And you notice that Jesus said something that was could be offensive to a lot of people. He said, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
Yeah.
Remember that? Mm-hmm. She wasn't of the house of Israel. And so, and then he said, it's not meat to take the children's bread and give it to dogs. Remember that? That story's in your Bible. Well, yeah, that could be taken offensively.
Yeah.
Dog. Not meat to take the children's bread and give it to dogs. You know, in our culture, that'd be like calling somebody with a different color skin a name. Because she was of a different nationality. And she could have taken offense at that. Right? Yet, right on the other hand, if you study these people's culture, they were Syrophoenicians. History tells us that the Syrophoenicians were very vulgar people. Their idol worship, I won't even say with children in the building, what their idol worship included. But it was vulgar and immoral, unclean, and just, I think you get the idea. And so when Jesus said dogs, he wasn't exaggerating. Amen. They were very unclean people. And how many of you know this woman came for help for her daughter, who was possessed with a devil? How many of you know you do vile things with your body and watch vile things and hear vile things? You'll open yourself up to a devil. Amen. Sometimes people do that. I need to be set free from the devil. Well, it's not always just that way. What opened the door to that devil? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, but and so this girl got a devil somehow. How many of you know you don't just wake up one morning and all of a sudden I got a devil? Amen. There are things that open the door to Satan. And Jesus was putting his finger on what had opened the door to this young girl being demonized like this. It was the unclean lifestyle. You know, you ever heard of that term, they live like dogs? You know, dogs are just anybody that'll hunt with them. You know, you ever heard that term? Well, yeah, I think you get the point. Amen. So Jesus was saying, when he said dog, she didn't rise up offended and say, dog? Preacher, are you calling me a dog? We Syrophoenicians are dogs? See, he was a Jew and she is a Syrophoenician. So there's a little bit of a conflict between their nation. So they didn't like one another. And to use a name like that could be taken offensively. But Jesus isn't trying to offend somebody. He's trying to bring them to their help. Her help was in her hearing. She needed to hear what opened the door to that. And so, and she could have got offended at that. But she didn't get offended. She said, truth, Lord. Remember that passage of scripture?
Yes,
she said, because Jesus said, it's not meat to take the children's bread and give it to dogs. And she said, "Truth, Lord." In other words, preacher, you called me a dog. You're exactly right. That's humility. Amen. She could have rose up and got offended. She could have said, "Preacher, you called me a dog? You talking to me, preacher?" Well, let me tell you about some Jews I know that are dogs. And you know, had a lot of pushback from it. Right? And she could have said her piece. Named some names, some Jews that were not living right. Stomped off. Without.
Yes, sir.
Did you get that?
Yes, sir.
Without.
Without.
Hear me. She could have stomped off without. In other words, without her daughter's freedom.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Yes. But she didn't do that. She said, "Truth, Lord." In other words, she heard what he said. Jesus was not being offensive. He was not speaking racial slurs. He was bringing her help. Sometimes our help is in hearing what we don't want to hear. Say amen.
Amen.
And so she said, "Truth, Lord." But she said this. She said, "But even the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from the master's table." She said, "I got in." That's basically what she's saying is, I got into this because my daughter, all of us in the family, got into this because of our wrong living. But all I need is a crumb of your power, and we'll live right, and that power will set my daughter free. And Jesus said, "Woman, great is your faith." Great faith comes from being able to hear what you need to hear. Glory to God. Did you get anything out of the word tonight? I said we need to be able to hear what we need to hear. Hallelujah. The Bible says that we're not to cast our pearls before swine. What does that mean? In other words, Jesus will not cast valuable truths to those who cannot value or appreciate them. Whenever we can hear what we need to hear, we'll get the valuable truths that change our lives. Amen.
Amen.
Sometimes we want to say, "Oh, pastor, pray for me. Oh, preacher, pray for me." We believe in prayer. We believe in laying on of hands. We believe in casting out devils. We believe in doing a lot of things like that. But sometimes all of that is not where the help is. The help is being able to hear what we need to hear. Amen. And sometimes what he wants to say is not complimentary. You know what I mean? It's we're going to have to say, "Ouch, Lord, that's right, but it's hard, but it's right." Hallelujah. Amen. And the better we can do that, and the better we can get at doing that, the better our lives are going to be. Amen. But it's worth it all. I said it's worth it all. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Praise God for the word. Praise God for the word. Praise God for the word. There's sometimes things in our lives that just seem to keep lingering and keep lingering and keep lingering. And those are times, and it's how many of you know it's not on God's side? You know what I mean by that? It's not on God's side. In other words, God's not failing us in some area. It's always on the receiving end. Amen. And I've been there. Where I'm thinking about, my life is greatly blessed financially, for example. Yet it wasn't always that way. And I distinctly remembering going to God with tears in my eyes. I mean, so I'm struggling financially. I'm talking about 30 years ago or whatever it was. Probably more than that. And I went to God and I said, Father, help me. I'm not making my connection with you. Notice I didn't blame God. I didn't get angry at God and throw my Bible away and say, this Bible doesn't work. I didn't accuse him. I said, help me. Somewhere it's on my end. I'm not making my connection right. And he spoke to me some things that day. They were a little hard to hear. And he started doing that for day after day after day. And actually for a period of a couple of years, dealt with me and dealt with me and worked on me. Changing my thinking. I stopped being offended at preachers. And he just had to get some things out of my thinking. And it wasn't easy on the flesh. But it was my help. Amen. And as a process of being able to hear what I needed to hear, I started coming out financially. And every year since that time, we've done better than the year before. Praise the Lord. And I'm telling you, you keep doing that for 30 years. It gets good. But my help was not in somebody praying for me. It was in me being able to hear what I needed to hear. Hallelujah. And how many of you know the Lord's no respecter of persons? Glory to God. He'll do it for all of his children. In fact, he wants to do it for every single one of us. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Sometimes there are certain things we're not open to hearing. But you see, that'll just cause us to be another night of another day of hardship, another day of things not working out, another day of, you know, the struggle. How many of you are done with days of struggle? Hallelujah. God's got answers for us. I've come to this place in my life. I don't believe anything in the Word of God is difficult. I don't believe receiving any of God's blessings. I don't believe receiving any of God's blessings is difficult. I don't believe receiving any of God's blessings is difficult. I believe it's easy. I'm the one making it hard. Anybody ever done that? Yeah, the reason it's hard is because we take what God says to us and we decide in our minds if we're going to go along with that or not. That's what makes things difficult. Amen. It's really quite easy. Turn to your neighbor and say that. Say the Word of God. Walking in the blessings of God is really easy. Aren't you glad? How many of you know if he wanted to make it difficult, he could have made it difficult. But I'm so glad he made it easy. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11, I think it's verse 3. It says, it talks about the simplicity that's in Christ. The things of God are easy. We've all been in places of our life that we just thought, this is so hard. You ever heard that? Sometimes out of your own mouth, you know. This is just so hard. It's really not. It's us making it hard. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I'm done doing that. Let me give you a little story that just kind of puts a cherry on top of this. God has blessed us to oversee four ministries. And we're pastoring two churches. We have a traveling ministry called J. Eberly Ministries. And we have a nonprofit daycare, which we get a lot of families saved in that daycare. And so a while back, when God spoke to us about having a second church, an interesting thing was where he wanted us to start the second church was 5 hours and 20-minute drive away. Well, okay, how am I going to do that? Well, we needed an airplane, to be honest. And we knew that God had spoken to us about an aircraft. And so we said, okay, it's time. And so we told the church, I just want you to know that we're believing God for an airplane. And God brought that money in and we paid for that airplane cash. Praise the Lord. But we needed a system on it. It's called a de-icing system. And that means if you get up in the clouds where there's precipitation, certain kinds of precipitation, it'll put ice on the wings, and that's dangerous. So you got to have a system to get that ice off of there. And so that was going to cost us another $73,000, I think. Well, so the Lord dealt with me to, I think, maybe 70% of it or something like that. Take that money out of J. Eberly Ministries and give it to the church for the de-icing system. And so things like that, I used to go, blah, 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 blah. I didn't want to hear that. Yeah, and nobody's ever done that in this house, right? Everybody here always obeys instantly, right? Amen. Come on, sister, go ahead. But I used to struggle with that kind of thing, especially with big numbers like that. And we had in our heart to give, I think, 54,000 of it out of J. Eberly Ministries. Well, I used to just not do things like that because I just blah, blah, blah. But I just got past all that and I just said, I sensed we were supposed to do it, so we just did it. Praise God. And that was October or whenever it was, November. And before the end of December, somebody that I have never met that has been following us on social media, out of the blue, said God spoke to them and was supposed to send in J. Eberly Ministries $50,000. See, you're not shouting because it didn't happen to you. Hallelujah! Glory to God! I found out prospering is easy, brother. I found out I was the one making it hard. Come on, somebody, say amen. Is it possible that that's true about any of us, that we're making it a little too difficult, that it's really quite easy? It really is. It really is. Hallelujah. Let's learn the easy flow. What do you say? The easy flow is just doing what you hear. Just do what you hear. Just do what you hear. Praise the Lord. Did you get happy on the word tonight? Praise the Lord. Give God a shout before you sit down. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Say it out loud. Nothing in the things of God is difficult. Praise God. Do you believe that?
Yes.
That's what the Bible says. The simplicity that is in Christ. There's nothing difficult in Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. It brings light to us. It answers questions. Father, we see that hearing is where our help is. And learning to respond to what we hear. without struggle, without trying to draw what we hear up through our minds, or trying to figure it out, but just flowing with you. Hallelujah. Thank you, you stand ready to speak a word and give us our help. Father God, I pray that all of us, in Jesus' name, would be more in the place. We're ready to hear what you're saying to us. Hallelujah. Father, we'll give you all the praise for it. We'll give you all the praise for the results. In Jesus' mighty name, praise be to God. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, while I was preaching tonight, just with heads bowed and eyes closed, while I was preaching tonight, the Spirit of God, I sense this in my spirit. I sense the Spirit of God brought back to some people's remembrance things that He has spoken to you in time past that you just let pass on by, that you didn't really want to hear from God. But tonight, while we were preaching, I sense in my spirit the Lord brought some of those things back to some of us. Tonight, acknowledge that. Say that. You don't have to say it out loud, but say to the Lord, I hear what you're saying to me. I recognize it. I'll not ignore it any longer. It's not doing me any good to ignore what you're saying to my heart. I hear what you're saying. I acknowledge what you're saying. And I will walk in the light of what you're saying. I'm not just a hearer. I'm a doer. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you meant that from the bottom of your heart and you walk in the light, you just entered into a new phase of your life. Of the free-flowing blessings of God. They're always free-flowing. But sometimes we've dammed up the flow, you know. Hallelujah! So tonight's service was a different, it made a change for some of us tonight. Hallelujah! Where you weren't getting results, now you're going to get results. But it's not enough just to say, okay, I heard you, Lord. You have to walk in the light of it. Amen? And that's what we're going to do, right? Because we're tired of struggling. We're done with struggling. Hallelujah. We're ready to walk in all that God has for us. Woo! Glory, glory, glory! Is this a shouting church? Hallelujah! Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory a Dios! Praise the Lord. See, we don't want to just have a good high service. We want to see results in your life throughout the days and weeks and months to come. Praise the Lord.